Of course, we get lots of prayer requests. We pray all during the week on Tuesday evenings. We pray for all the prayer requests that come into the church. And we have little cards there. If you have a prayer request, you can submit your card, put it in the basket on your way out, and we will pray for you. So I learn about all kinds of situations. And after pastoring, I don't know how long I've been pastoring. I've been in ministry over 20 years. So I've learned all kinds of situations, people dealing with marriage problems and healing that they need for their body and problems with their finances, problems with their children, and all these things. And so I've learned, however, that love is the center of it all. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's start in 2 Corinthians. What did I say? Not Corinthians yet. I'm going to give you my main text, which I've already given you, 2 Timothy. And it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and" what? "Of love." This was important. That's why he put it in the Bible. "He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." So he has given us the spirit of power. We know that is another name for the Holy Spirit. Those that were here last week, many of you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Understand, though, the moment you became born again, the Spirit of God already came inside of you. You became a new creation in Christ so that God himself will dwell inside of you. And so those that were filled last week were filled to overflowing so that you could operate in the power of God. And there is ministry gifts or spiritual gifts that you'll be able to operate in once you're filled with the power of God, the Spirit of God, to overflowing. And, you know, there's the 9 spiritual gifts. There's tongue, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, miracles, healings, all these 9 spiritual gifts. So those are available to those that are filled with the power of God, with the Spirit of God. So we understand that the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of power, but here I want you to notice he's called the Spirit of love. The Spirit of love. Again, try to disassociate your mind with this love being a feeling. It is not a feeling, okay? It is the Spirit of God. For the Christian, it is the Spirit of God residing inside of you. He is the Spirit of love. And that is the most powerful thing there is. The most powerful person is God himself, and he resides inside of you. And because of that, we can make it through any trial. We can make it through anything. There's nothing greater than love. Love, 1 Corinthians teaches us, and we will look at that in just a moment, love never fails. No matter what you're going through, God being in you, if you've been born again, God being in you, you will never fail because God is holding you. God's love for you and your love for God is keeping you, holding you, preserving you, keeping you safe, providing for you, okay? So understand first that we have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love himself. He is a person living inside of us. Praise God. You know, there's the fruit of the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The first one mentioned is love. That's important. The Spirit of love resides inside of every single believer if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is the greatest force because it says love never fails. It's God himself. See, we have to get our minds when we're going through all these things that we go through, all these problems and issues that we get hit with, we got to get our mind on the right thing. God is in me. God is with me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. And no matter what you go through, God works all things for your good. God will turn any situation around, but we got to do something. We got to put our focus not on ourselves and our problems and our pain and our suffering. And then, of course, fear brings in all the things that can go wrong. We think of all the issues, oh, this could happen and this could happen, and oh man, this is terrible. And we snowball it into some huge thing that will probably never happen. But in our mind, that becomes a reality because that's what we decide to think about. We think about an eventuality that will probably never happen, but the devil just keeps feeding thoughts of fear and anxiety and worry, and our body reacts like that's the reality. Stress is the thing that kills us in many cases. If it doesn't itself kill you, it'll make anything going on in your body worse, right? Stress is a major issue. And so we have to get our mind on the right thing, and that is the Word of God, and understanding that the power of love resides inside of us. The power of the Spirit of God lives inside of us. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. This is the love chapter, of course, but I'm only going to read verse 7. And again, I'm not applying love to all the things that we can talk about. We can talk about how you're supposed to love other people and so forth, and we are. I'm applying it, and I want you to see it as the power of God, the love of God residing in us is the Spirit of God that helps us through our trials, okay? This is why I see it this way. It's in verse 7. It says, love bears all things. That's talking about what I'm going through. The love of God helps me bear anything under any weight, under any circumstance. The love of God that is in me gives me everything I need to bear through it. And I know situations as a pastor where people are bearing under huge weights, but God is greater. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's deadly. I don't care how it threatens our family or our life. God is greater, and we need to get our attention on not ourselves and our problems, but on Him, on His Word. The Bible says faith works by love. In other words, it works through love. To have faith, you have to know that God loves you. You have to know what God's Word says. So when we're going through a problem, we're going through a trial, we need to find God's Word and have faith in what He says. And know, you know what? God loves me. This is what His Scripture says. I'm going to stand on that Scripture. I'm going to believe God because He promised me right here in this Scripture. Find the Scripture with whatever you're going through. And then know, God loves me. I'm standing on this. I'm going to get through this. See, we can so quickly and so easily turn negative when we're hit with a trial. Something's happening in our lives. Our mind just quickly goes to all worst case scenario situations. Does your mind ever do that? And again, most of it's not even real. Most of it's just the devil, you know, making stuff up. Or we can make up pretty good stuff for ourselves. You know, we might not even need the devil's help. But our God, if we have a mentality, my God is with me. My God will help me. He's given me the Word in this situation to help me have something to stand on. See, you can't have faith unless you have something to stand on. What am I having faith in? Well, find the Scripture. Find what God's Word says. Faith works by love. So, love bears up under anything and everything, all pressures. No matter what you're going through, God is going to take care of you. You have to know that in your heart. It says love believes all things. Hallelujah. And again, it's ever ready to believe the best of people, but also ever ready to believe the best of every circumstance. God loves me. He will not allow me to go through something that He will not help me with. I will always be able to come through every single time because God loves me. You have to have your faith in the love of God, to know that God really loves you. He will help you. He will bring you through. He will strengthen you. He will give you whatever you need to help you in your situation because God loves me. We know He loves me. He loves you because He sent His Son to die for you. So everything else after that is downhill. If He is willing to send His Son to die for you, you know God loves you, right? He goes on to say, love hopes all things. Romans 5:5 says this, and hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we have hope. We always have something positive in front of us. Whatever we're going through, there's something in front of you that you can focus on and say, this is what happens. This is what God says. God loves me. I know He loves me. And I'm going to get my mind on that instead of all these thoughts that the devil brings and you bring to yourself. We have a hope. We have something that we can look forward to, an earnest expectation that God is going to bring me through because He loves me. That is an anchor to us that we can be sure of. Hallelujah. Our hopes are fadeless under every circumstance. No matter, you know, we should never be the kind of people that lean towards, you know, depression. We should be a people, as we've just sung, we talked about rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. We can always rejoice under any and every circumstance because we always have hope. This world has no hope. See, this world has nothing to rely on except themselves. And that is hopeless because we're so weak. We're so fragile. We're so frail. You know, pastors actually preached my sermon this morning at the 9 o'clock. So this is a two-parter, unintentionally, but at least by me, by the Spirit of God, though. He talked about how frail we are. And so I'm going to get into just that in just a moment. It's amazing what he preached this morning, that I'm talking about the same thing. But I'm talking about how love helps us through trial, God's love for us. Then it says, love endures all things. And that's really the one that hit me the most. Love endures everything without weakening. We are weak, but love is strong. The love that God has for you is strong. The love that is in you, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love in you is strong. Love endures everything, no matter how great the pressure. You have God who loves you, God who's in you. You'll have a tenacity inside of you, a strength that is inside of you that cannot be moved. If you rely not on what you see and what you feel out here, not looking at all the circumstances in there, look to the God who is in you, who says, I love you. I'm going to bring you through. It can strengthen you. It brings a backbone to your spiritual walk with God, a perseverance, an endurance that cannot be shaken. I know my God loves me. He sent his son to die for me. This is what his word says to me. He's given us promises and hope that makes us not ashamed. He's given his spirit inside of us. Hallelujah. There's a resolve and a toughness that comes inside of us that is supernatural. I have a story from the early church. There's a guy named Polycarp, and he was a disciple of the Apostle John. The Apostle John wrote the book of John and the book of Revelation. And so really early in the church, after John, there is Polycarp, okay? He has a weird name, but this was an amazing man of God. One day, when he was elderly and he was old, he's been preaching the gospel. He was a major part of the early church. He was captured by the Romans. And so the Romans are going to burn him at the stake, all right? So the Roman proconsul said, if you don't worship Caesar, we're going to burn you at the stake. I'm giving you a chance right now. Renounce Christ or you're going to burn at the stake. And so I love what Polycarp said. I do want to quote it, so I'm going to look at my quotation here. And he says, 86 years have I served him, talking about Jesus, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me? I'm talking about strength in trials. So after the proconsul threatened him again with the specter of burning at the stake, Polycarp said this, you threaten me with fire, which awaits the wicked in judgment to come and in everlasting punishment. Go ahead. Why are you waiting? So he's like daring him. Go ahead. Come do what you will, he says. So they approached him, and they were going to nail him to the stake so he wouldn't get away and they could light him on fire. This is amazing. Polycarp said, leave me as I am. He who gives me power to endure the fire will grant me to remain in the flame unmoved even without the security that you give me by the nails. They were going to nail him. He says, don't give me any nails. I'll sit right here in the fire. That guy was something else. That guy knew his God. That guy knew the Spirit of God in him, the power that was in him, the love of God. And the story goes, they went ahead and lit him on fire. And the thing is, he wouldn't burn. And so they stabbed him And he did eventually perish from being stabbed to death in the fire. I'm talking about a tenacity. Do you know your God? Do you know the Spirit of God that is in you? You know, that they were telling him to worship the Caesar, right? There's coming a day where this world will be given an ultimatum. Worship the Antichrist or else, right? Same concept. Government, the head of the government. There's a world government coming and an Antichrist that's going to rule that. And the world has to worship him or they'll be beheaded. The Bible teaches us that in prophecy. But I'm telling you, we can hold fast under any circumstance. So, as I mentioned, James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Temptations means trials. We may be persecuted, but we all have trials. How can we count it all joy? Well, the secret is over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, which I find just amazing. 2 Corinthians 12:7, it says this. This is Paul speaking, and this guy knows what he's talking about. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. This word messenger is actually in the Greek angelos, which means angel. It was an angel assigned to Paul to buffet him. Now, what's buffeting? Well, buffet, it means to rap or to hit with the fist over and over and over. You ever feel like the devil's just doing that to you? Just hitting you and it just never seems to end. It's just a constant, constant thing. So there was an angel assigned to Paul that he's calling the thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul was one who had revelations. He wrote almost 2/3 of our New Testament. I mean, he had revelations unlike anybody else. Verse 8, it says, for this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he, God, said to me, this is it, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, which means my weaknesses. Paul gloried in his weaknesses. That's the opposite of what, you know, we tend to do. We glory in all the areas that we're strong. Well, look how strong I am, how smart I am, how beautiful I am, how young I am, how rich I am, how, whatever it is. We look at the outward and we try to evaluate ourselves based on the outward. But the outward is not the real you. The outward is weak. And that's what Paul was getting the revelation of. I am weak. How do we get God's grace? What is grace? Grace is also God's help. It's God's ability. It's God's strength. It's God's help. It's God's provision. It's God's protection to help in the time of need. He's saying, you need my grace. But how do you get the grace that you need when you're going through a trial? This was the trial that followed Paul around everywhere he went. And he was literally, you know, beaten. He was beaten with rods, I think 5 times or something. He was shipwrecked, but he was beaten with rods. He was stoned to death. And I believe he literally died, went up to heaven, saw heaven, came back down, but he doesn't speak a lot about it. He just mentions it briefly. But I think he was stoned to death. He was beaten with rods. So this guy understands trials. This guy was, I think, tried and persecuted more than anybody I've ever seen in the entire Bible or in the entire world as far as history is concerned. So he says the secret is here. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, which are weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wow. Glory in your weaknesses, not your strengths, so that you can have the power of Christ rest upon you. When you're going through, don't look at your strengths. Look at your weaknesses. think we need to get a revelation of how weak we really are so that the power of Christ rests on you to help you. Verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, which means weaknesses, and in reproaches, which means insults. People will insult you. In necessities, that means being in need. In persecutions and in distresses, calamities, in other words, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Church, we need a revelation that when we are weak is when we are the strongest. And when we think we are the strongest is when we are the weakest. You know, it's like I picture an impudent child who's you know, you try to teach the child, okay, this is how you put your clothes on. And they're like, no, I can do it myself, right? And they put their head in the place where the armhole goes, or they put their pants on their heads, and they do it themselves, right? That's a child that has pride. We all have this in us. That's the nature of flesh. We have this pride in us that wants to be independent. Let me tell you, church, you're never built to be independent from God. You are built to be dependent on Him in all things. Like a child, we could teach to ride a bike. You know, remember you first rode a bike and your parent might have been there holding the bike so you don't fall over. And you don't have training wheels. And the child goes, hey, let go, I got this. And you're running along. No, you don't got this. No, I got this. Let me do it myself. And so the parent lets go. And the child crashes, right? That's how we are when we think we're strong in ourselves. I got this. See, I got this education, and I got some money, and I got the looks, and I got the strength, but we are weak. We are morally weak. We are physically weak. We are mentally weak. Only when we get a revelation of the weakness of how weak we really are does God's strength come in. It's the humble that get the grace. Again, applying this to our trials and our tribulations, trials and tribulations remind us of how weak we are. That's one of the benefits. That's how we can rejoice in trials, because we know we are weak. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we go back to leaning on our own strengths and thinking about how good we are, how great we are, or whatever. Trials remind us we need God. We are dependent on Him for everything. And this is what happens when you get that revelation that you are weak. You are dependent on Him, then the power of God rests upon you. The weaker you are, the more power you get. Hallelujah. That's, you know, if you could think of that in terms of a formula. I pray that you pray for an understanding about how weak you are. So the power of God will rest upon you when trials come upon you. This is how trials can be a blessing to us. They help us see things for how they really are, that we are truly weak and dependent on God. Hallelujah. We have so much, we can have so much pride being self-sufficient. What does the Bible say? God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pride will destroy you. But when you get on your face, that's how we become born again, is we get on our face and say, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. That's how we're saved. But that's how we remain in the things of God and continue in the things of God, is staying on our face, so humble, not letting pride take over. Again, we were built deficient. We're built deficient. We have weaknesses, and it's good to know them and to recognize them and even rejoice in them so that the power of God, so God can rest upon you. I want to point out something in Colossians 1:29. When Paul got a revelation of how you're supposed to realize you're weak, Paul was a whole different man. Colossians 1:29 says, "Whereunto I also labor." Paul, of course, was ministering. He's an apostle who ministered the gospel as kind of a missionary. He traveled all over the place as a missionary, establishing churches, preaching the gospel. And so we see here that he says, "I labored." So there is work for you to do. There's ministry even for you. Even if you're not a missionary or you stand on a stage and preach, you are still a worker in the kingdom. There's work for you to do. But you do have to do the work. So it starts off, you could say, step one, you have to do some labor. "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working," according to God's working, "which worketh in me mightily." So first you have to step out and do some work. But this is what happens when you do. I only saw this recently. I went and looked at the word "according to his working." It's only used to refer to the superhuman power. And in this case, the superhuman power of God. We're talking about how the power of God resides on you when you get the revelation that Paul had, that he was weak, that you are weak. The superhuman, it's, in the Greek, it's the word energeia or energeia, which means the same as where we get our word energy. But this is only talking about superhuman power. So when he does the work, striving according to the power of God that resides upon him, which works in him mightily. This is the word dunamis again. If you remember what dunamis means, it means the miracle working power of God. It is no coincidence that the man that was persecuted the most in our New Testament was also the man that operated in the greatest power besides Jesus Christ himself. What did it say of Paul's ministry? Acts 19, it says, "God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs," or aprons, "and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Paul got a revelation of how to walk in the power of God. It's in humility. It's in realizing your weaknesses. He reveled. He enjoyed the trials and tribulations and persecutions because the power of God would now reside on him. Our problem is when we go through tribulations and trials and persecutions or whatever it is, negative, we turn our focus in on ourselves. That's where I believe all of us miss it and have missed it. We turn our attention to ourselves. Paul used it to turn his attention out to ministry. It's a world of difference. And when he did that, see, that's where the love comes in. Love is not self-focused. Love is outward focused. That's how the love is connected here. Hallelujah. We get our focus on ourselves. God is there, ready to give us power to go help some people. We turn inwardly and kind of curl up into a ball and say, "Woe is me, oh God, why me, why me?" And we have an opportunity here to operate in some power that can help other people. We don't have to worry about ourselves. God, in your trials, you will bear up under every trial. God will never let you go through anything that he will not help you with, that you cannot bear up under, because God is with you. God is in you. Get your attention off yourself, in other words. And now that you're going through something, you've got power. If you get the revelation that you're weak, "I am weak. I depend on you. I can't do this, God. I need you. I pray, help me. Give me your grace." And you humble yourself. The grace comes, lifts you up, strengthens you, and helps you help someone else. And not just helps. Again, I pointed out, Paul's power was superhuman. That's what the word energeia means. God's power for you to minister happens. Glory to God. Do you get it? When we're going through trials, don't look at yourselves and all the things that can go wrong. Get your attention on other people. Start seeing, who can I help? Who can I bless? Who can I love? When you get your attention off yourself, it's funny. The problem gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And eventually, it comes to pass. It goes away. But when we get our attention to ourselves, we snowball the thing, again, getting it bigger and bigger and bigger. Hallelujah. There's a secret here, how to operate in the power of God. Romans 15:19, Paul goes on to say, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. He operated in power, but he was also the most persecuted. In another place, he talks about, I come to you in weakness and in fear. That's how he ministered the gospel, not with great words of man's wisdom, but in weakness and in fear. So the power of God rested on Paul all the time, because he was always aware of his weakness, his dependency, and he was in reverential fear to God. That's the secret to Paul having so much power when he ministered. So in conclusion, we understand we go through trials, we all will, and we can actually rejoice in them. Why? Because one reason is we know the power of God will reside on us. God's going to help us. God's going to keep us. We know God loves us. The Spirit of God is in us. We're going to be okay. But let's use that trial to say, God, help me to see my dependency. Help me to see my weakness so that now your power can reside on me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We thank you. We thank you, and we can even rejoice in trials, because there's no trial greater than you. There's nothing that we face that is greater than the Spirit of love and power that is inside of every single one of us that believe in Christ and have been born again. Oh, Lord, help us get a revelation of our weakness so that your power can reside on us, abide on us, so that we can help others. To not seek our own, but to seek the welfare of others, to love others. God, I pray you help us all understand we need you. Help us to walk in real humility, dependent upon you for all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's good to know of God's love. It's good to know what he's capable of, and that his Spirit can reside in us, and that it's not in us or through us, but through what Christ did at the cross for us. Amen. That was a good word today. We want to thank you again for coming out. We want to thank those, all of you who are in-house, and also those who have joined our webcast. We want you to know you're welcome and your family. Before we let you get out of here today, just a couple of quick announcements. If you haven't had a chance to give, we do want to encourage you to do that, including our online audience. Again, we're taking that and using it to further the message of the gospel around the world. Register for our relationship seminar. You should be able to see the dates up here on the screen behind me. That's going to be a great time this weekend. That'll be Friday night and then Saturday morning. It'll be a two-day session. Make sure you register for that. It's going to be a good time, and I believe a lot of good, godly information. And then lastly, we are looking to have a water baptism on February 25th. There's over here on the slat board, when you walk in here into the lobby, there's a sign up. And if you would like to sign up to be water baptized, if you have not done that, then you may sign up there to do so. All right, we thank you again for joining us. We hope you have a blessed day. Be safe in the weather, and you are dismissed.